Welcome back to Go Forth and Nerd. This is Jesse Bray, also known as Mr. Bray, and I'm your resident nerd. So today I have my good friend Rachel Kratzky on, and we're just gonna talk some nerdy stuff today. So you wanna say hello, Rachel?
Hi.
So Rachel and I, we both live in Portland, and we've known each other, how long have we known each other? For about few years, right? Did we know each other in college?
I want to say at least say a couple years.
Yeah. More like...
Yeah, because... Yeah.
I think in college we had some of the same editing courses, something like that. But it's... as far as acquaintance outside of college, yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew Adam because Adam and I had a couple of, like, random editing classes or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We were probably bored at the same time. Just, I'm sure that's how we knew that. But Rachel is an audio professional. I'm always kind of humbled when I talk to professionals on the podcast, but she knows her stuff about audio that's way beyond, what this podcast is out. This podcast is low tech, so very low tech, just my phone and a record button. So we're going to just talk about some nerdy stuff. And before we started, you were telling me about you're a big Sailor Moon fan. So, and I know very little about Sailor Moon. I mean, I know that people like to dress up like Sailor Moon, but what is Sailor
Moon? well, Sailor Moon is, she's pretty much the mother of magical girl anime.
Okay.
Like, so it pretty much started with her.
Okay.
Magical 14 years old, and she finds out she is Sailor Moon from a talking cat named Luna.
Nice.
And then throughout the series, like, she finds, like, they find other, you know, magical girls that represent all the planets, and she finds out she's the moon princess, and
okay.
She eventually becomes the pretty much the queen of the earth.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, it's just really cool, very feminist show. It's definitely all about the girl power and
that's cool.
Embracing who you are, and you know, every character is very different. Like, I love Sailor Moon. I identify with her most just because, like, she loves anime and she loves manga and she's a cry. She's very emotional. So I'm very emotional. And she loves to eat, and she's like, she's very much like me. So, like, and she, like, she's like, like, she knows what she's doing. So I just like, oh, I can relate to that. I love it.
That's awesome.
And she's very unlike, you know, a lot of other superheroes.
Okay.
I think, like, as in, like, the Marvel and DC genre, like, she's very much her own thing, and I love that.
That's cool. I had a conversation earlier, last week, about a friend of mine who's a diehard Dragon Ball Z fan, and because I wanted him to kind of explain to me that universe, and it's, when you think about these anime characters being superheroes, it kind of, like, clicks, you know, like, the whole foreignness of who they are, like, oh, it's superheroes, it's just, they're superheroes. You know, like, that's just their version of a superhero, which is, I think it connects the dots for my mind, because I sometimes, when it comes to anime and manga, I feel like I am so, like, foreign to these waters. I don't know what, if it's going to be, like, teeny bopper, or is it, like, serious, like, drama, or is it, like, kid stuff? Like, I can't always tell from the art.
It's a wide range of genre, and it's overwhelming. Like, I have a Crunchyroll account. It's just like, I get overwhelmed when I'm on there.
Okay.
Just because there's so much to look at. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So I just find myself, like, browsing through it for, like, you know, for however long. I'm like, I don't know what I want to watch.
that is kind of a nice problem to have, you know, that mm-hmm. like, there's just too much good out there. I feel like that it's decision fatigue. It's a real thing. I have this retro arcade console, and it's embarrassing how many games are on there, and I get this, like, massive decision fatigue, because I'm like, which Nintendo game do I want to play? I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. And that, it's like, so, you feel, I feel so, like, like, spoiled, like such a, like, a spoiled nerd. I'm like, like, which of the 17 Street Fighters do I want to play? And it's like, it's embarrassing. So Sailor Moon is started originally as an anime. It wasn't like a manga that
it was a manga first.
Oh, okay, manga. So is that, am I saying it wrong? Manga? Is it GIF?
I think it's GIF? Manga.
Okay. Manga.
I don't know. Both may be correct. I don't know.
Sometimes, like people said, I call it a GIF, but apparently the guy who created GIFs calls them GIFs. And I'm like, GIF's a peanut butter. It's like, GIF is a peanut butter. It's like.
Yeah. I call it GIF. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I don't care that he created it. There's peanut butter that came out before it. But, okay, so manga. All right, that's good. Now I'm learning more. All right, so we also talked about a few other things. You said you were a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
fan. And now, as when it comes to Buffy, like, I love Joss Whedon, but I am not, like, I'm not versed in all of his stuff. I really loved the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. To me, the movie is the best incarnation of the show, or because of the whole like universe, because the movie was so funny, and it was just like, because this is just maybe just broadcasting my ignorance, but you turn on the WB when there was a WB, and you'd watch, Buffy. Sometimes you didn't know where the drama was at, and because it's a TV show, so sometimes the story arc was just too large. So. But that was my first introduction to Buffy was the movie, and I thought that was pretty good. So
yep.
Go ahead. So with Buffy.
I've seen the movie, but it's been a really long time since I watched it. But I know it's a good time.
Oh, it's
like it's not necessarily like a what someone would call like a good movie. It's great. Yeah. It is like what you said, like a fun ride. Like, yeah. I don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
You can't.
No.
Just put it on, sit down, and enjoy it.
I mean, and let's start from the very beginning. When it comes to Buffy, and I'm sorry if your parents named you Buffy, but I can't take the name seriously. That name is silly sounding to me. I mean, it just sounds like a nickname. And so Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and this is where Joss Whedon was a trendsetter. This is before everyone got super saturated with everything vampire and stuff like that. And so it made it started that trend. And Joss wasn't afraid to be funny and quirky. I think what probably suffered in the movie was Pee Wee Herman's choice to be that character. And though I think he's one of the best characters in the film, but we all discovered that Pee Wee Herman has a seedy past and he had some habits. But he was so funny in that movie, like when he's dying slowly, his slow death.
Oh yeah, that's like the one thing I can really remember about his character. Coming back up. It's so good.
It's fantastic. Yeah, that is like that's the iconic scene from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie that I love, and then the series. So like, I'm sure you can chime in with your favorite episodes and characters, but to me, the only episode that really brings to mind like pure joy was the musical episode, where the actress Sarah Michelle Gellar, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was the only one who really couldn't sing, but everyone else was like awesome. Like they were just like, I love it when TV shows just go just left field.
I remember. Just like watching that one for the first time, and I have the soundtrack.
Oh, nice!
That one, and
nice.
Yeah, I would just like riding in cars with friends. We would just like put that CD in, and we would just like belt out the music. It's yes. Just like there's such a memorable, good episode.
Oh, that's awesome!
It was solid, really.
Yeah, yeah, and then when Joss went further with Dr. Horrible. And he got to play with everything. I mean, I'm sure you're a fan of Dr. Horrible. Mm-hmm. And like the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, which in some ways it's kind of old hat now. Everyone has probably seen it who's going to see it. But it was so great because you saw that, you saw how playful Joss can get as a writer. So, all right. So you just, what are you currently nerding out on? Just what's in your queue?
Currently? My goodness. Currently, I just finished not too long ago. I just finished Yuri on Ice, which is another anime, and that one was just.
Was it good?
I was not expecting it. It was just like really good. It's about if you don't know.
Yeah, no. If it's anime,
it's anime. It's about an ice skater named Yuri.
Okay.
like he has depression, he has anxiety, he has like all these things. Like he thinks he's a horrible ice skater, but like he's like number one. He like represents Japan pretty much, and he's a huge fan of this other ice skater named Victor, who is a Russian ice skater. So Yuri goes home and does one of Victor's routines. It gets filmed and put on the internet, and Victor sees it. So Victor goes to Japan and starts training him.
Oh, cool.
So, like, what? Yeah, it's just like a really good. It's a sports anime, which I never have watched before.
Yeah.
But it's really well done. The routines are beautiful. The music is really great.
Oh, that's cool.
And another really great thing, it's Pride Month, so get into this.
Yeah.
Yuri and Victor are in a very loving relationship towards.
Oh. Cool.
And their relationship grows, and like, it's like set in a world where no one cares. Like, it's perfectly awesome for two males to be in a relationship. And it's like, and no one even bats an eye. And like, I love that about the show. Like,
that's,
it's just,
that's far
everyone's allowed to love whoever they want. And it's great.
And so like, because the thing about animation, and this is like me, from my understanding, a lot of anime is a cultural export. It's, you know, it's, a lot of times they're writing characters. This is like, again, limited understanding about anime, but what I do understand is that a lot of it's a cultural export, because they kind of try to draw Western characteristics like blonde hair and blue eyes and things that are not, to my knowledge, people who are of Japanese don't naturally have. And so with that, they're having these kind of more mature themes, like romantic themes. I mean, but we in the West, we kind of view cartoons as sort of like comedy only, you know, and it's hard to break that mold where it's, you know, like cartoons are supposed to be, you know, silly. But with Japanese stories like manga and anime, they can do everything. And so, and I guess therein lies my confusion, or at least my disposition about animated stuff. I'm like, it's more adult. Oh, it's more mature, you know? And so they have a tendency to be, honestly, to be more sophisticated than your Western story, which is cool. This is very cool. I've never seen a sports animated like anything, unless it was just like an absolute, like Goofy does sports, you know, from the classic Goofy sports. But that's very unique. That's fresh.
Yeah, I think it's also super unique because it's ice skating. And it became like crazy popular too, which is even better because it's like no one was expecting this anime. It had a really hard time being made.
Okay. Yeah.
No one was expecting this anime to do as well as it did, and now it's getting a movie now.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Like I'm okay. So talking about my knowledge of anime, like I've watched the Attack on Titan. Have you seen that series? Which is amazing, really violent, but it's also like it's one of these shows, like, because my wife Katie, she's read all the books, and so because like I definitely feel like reading the book you probably get more benefit because there's so much story in there, but it's hard to be invested in a character like I would like in Attack on Titan because there's so much death involved, like a character you like. I haven't watched Game of Thrones, but I feel like it might be the equivalent of investing in a character that might die in the next episode.
Yeah, kind
of.
You don't get too attached to characters in Game of Thrones. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It gets very sad. Same with Walking Dead. Like, don't get attached to characters in Walking Dead either.
That's another confession. I'm not a big horror movie person. Like, I don't like gore. And so it's hard for me to get into zombie stuff. Though my wife, she loves the zombie stuff, or she did for a long time. I think she hit what she calls peak zombie, and where, because everyone did a lot of like zombies, and so but she had like this, like a small little shelf of books that she read about the zombie culture, and she would go, like when I would talk about particular zombies, like you watched the remake, the I Am Legend, the one with Will Smith, right? And so, yes. Correct? Okay. So I'm like, yeah, they're zombies. I'm like, well, technically they're not zombies. And then like, oh, why are they not zombies? And she would explain to me the difference. They have like this rabbit disease, or in like 28 Days Later, like the difference between the nuances of zombies. And I'm like, honestly, that is something that's new to me. So Walking Dead, when I watched Walking Dead, it was just sort of like, it didn't hook me at the beginning, so I wasn't ready to dive into it. But I do know some people who are just diehard Walking Dead fans. So you feel like it's kind of like Attack on Titan. You have to kind of love to watch people just die.
It's horrible, but I keep coming back, so it's doing something, right?
It's something. maybe that's just part of, like, maybe it's just, it just hits the right things for you. Because, like, my thing is, I love finding a series when there's, like, 3 or 4 seasons, you know, and so you know you can kind of binge, you know, Netflix and chill. And when I, like, when you have a series and it ends really poorly, you're like, oh, I hate that. But I'm not sure. Here's a question. This is just in the realm of TV shows and stuff. What is worse, for a show to end poorly but not have few many seasons, or a show to continue on to where it's no longer good anymore?
I'm always a fan of like short seasons.
Yeah.
As long as the show is tight, I don't care. Like if it keeps on going on, I'm like, okay. Like, you just need to end now. Like, I'd rather have a show end on a high note.
Yeah.
And when it's doing really well.
Yeah.
Than end when it's just, like, it keeps on going. Like, the one that comes to mind is How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yes.
It just kept on going. I'm like, you should have ended that 3 seasons ago.
Oh, I totally agree. See, that's a show where, like, I can revisit the show, but I can't revisit the ending. Because the show is... Honestly, the show is, it's all Barney Stinson. It's all, you know, it's always Neil Patrick Harris. He's so great. And the comedy is like cartoon quality. It's just over the top.
I really enjoyed that show, but just like the last couple seasons, I'm like, I was watching it, but I was just like getting annoyed with it too.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, you should have ended.
I agree with you. That's a show where like, okay, I need a character to go through an arc to grow. And the main character, Ted, he doesn't grow. Like, he does not grow. And, like, his hair is the same to the end. Like, it's just like, he's just sort of the same dude. I had the same feeling about Scrubs, where, you know, like, the main character, JD, he never evolves. And I don't like that when a character doesn't evolve. But with How I Met Your Mother, the premise should have said 3 seasons, right? A really great show got canceled after first season was Freaks and Geeks. Did you ever watch Freaks?
Oh, I haven't. You know what? I have not really watched that, unfortunately.
It's a great show. And a lot of actors that you know and love kind of got their start in that show. I mean, like, there's the James Franco and Seth Rogen and, I forgot his name, Marshall from How I Met Your Mother is in it. So a lot of people are in that show. Mm-hmm. And it cancels. Like, it ends nice, but it's, like, basically one season. I mean, they're in high school. They could have made it more than a couple seasons anyways. Yeah. I mean... But I like that. The show that I'm currently irritated because it hit so many marks that I loved was Big Bang Theory. And so I've been kind of annoyed with that show. I don't know if you ever watched have you watched?
I don't watch Big Bang Theory. Okay. I don't the few episodes I watched, I couldn't get into.
Yeah, and I got hooked on it from like some Halloween episode when they're all dressed like the Flash and they're like, why don't we just all stand in front of each other and act like we're one guy going really, really fast? And I was like, oh, that was funny. But it got to the point where like 9 seasons in, they're like, they're just not evolving and they treat each other so poorly. They call themselves friends. They're so mean to each other. We're like, when I think of the ultimate show of friendships, it is Friends. Like, I love Friends. It's a good show. And even though they have their ups and downs, they're friends, right? They are actually friends with each other. And in this one, like not How I Met Your Mother as much, but sometimes, but in like in Big Bang Theory, they're just sort of mean nerds to each other. And it's like, I don't, why would you be friends with somebody who's mean to you like that all the time? So I get kind of like, I check out. That show should have been done a couple seasons ago for sure. So that's talking about television shows lasting too long. And I think there's something about the British storytellers where they're like, yeah, you're going to be lucky to get like 8 episodes a season, but they're going to end when they're done. They're done, you know? Are you a fan of any British shows?
for some reason, like, I'm talking, oh, the IT Crowd.
Oh, yeah, love the IT Crowd.
The IT Crowd. Love that show. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The show is so good.
So good. So good, yeah.
There's another one I watched on Netflix, and I can't remember the name of it, and it's, like, really annoying me because I loved it.
Oh.
It's about these two girls who find out they can see demons and become demon hunters.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
It's so good. Like, I am so frustrated. I'm blanking on the name.
Okay, if it comes to you, like, just interrupt, because, okay, I'm going to find that. That sounds awesome. I love British comedy. So a good friend of mine, he's a middle grade fiction writer, and he, you know, like, he's British, and when he talks, everything sounds a little more interesting, and everything has, like, a little, just a little tilt to it that's just like, oh, this sounds, I mean, he might be just talking about the weather, and like, that sounds so much more interesting when you say it. And so I just sound like a yokel. But, like, there's, like, something I kind of love the purity about good British television shows, where they're like, they're gonna, when they're done, they're done. One of my favorite British comedies is Black Books. You ever seen that show? Oh, it's so good. So it's about this drunken Irish guy and his two British friends, and he owns a bookstore, and and he kind of hates everybody, but it's so funny. It's really funny. So, like, there's this one time where it starts off, I don't want to give away too much of the comedy, but he starts off, he has to do his taxes, and he hates doing his taxes, and he's just looking for any type of distraction, whatever, and then some, like, missionaries come to the door, and they want to talk to him about Jesus, and he's like, sure, come on in. It was pretty funny. Just the antics of the show, and, like, yeah, like, he's eating mushrooms in his hair, and it's weird. Anyways, back to your love of anime, Sailor Moon and such. What would you say? Would you say that Sailor Moon is, like, your favorite all time kind of thing?
It was my first, and it definitely holds, like, a special place in my heart. Like, if you go into my home, you will notice right off the bat how much I love Sailor Moon.
That's nice.
I have pictures everywhere. I have, you know, the old VHS, and it's like, there's art everywhere. Like, I can see, like, you know, five things right now just, like,
that's
here
awesome.
Around my apartment. Yeah, I love it. I love Sailor Moon.
That's awesome. Okay, so we talked a little bit about how manga and anime, like, do they typically, I mean, just if you know this, do they typically start as a comic book before they go to animation? Is that the normal run of things in anime?
I think so. That's what it seemed like to me. Like, with Sailor Moon, like, it didn't even start off as Sailor Moon. It started off as Sailor V.
Okay.
Became Sailor Venus in Sailor Moon. Like, so it didn't even start out with her. But, like, I think a lot of... It seems like a lot of anime has started out as a manga. Yuri and Ice didn't.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of rare when start out as a manga.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's just what I see. I'm not, like, huge in the anime thing. I just like what I like, pretty much.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, I'm just curious because I didn't know, and I thought maybe... that's something that you would dove into. But as far as like, I mean, our kind of the way that we go with movies, oftentimes there might be like a novel or a comic book, but if it's just like a silly show, I mean, I mean, SpongeBob didn't start off as a comic, and it just went to SpongeBob. But that's, of course, it's different the way that their studios work. So I want to transition the conversation a little bit to one of your, I would say it's more than a hobby. It's something that you're incredibly talented with. You create puppets, and so
I dabble in puppets.
Dabble in puppetry, and so, like, they're impressive. Like, they're really impressive. Troll King Labyrinth one you did. Oh, that was so cool. I thought I was just like I was waiting for you to start your own, like, offbeat Sesame Street. So.
I want to. I'm staring at I bought, like, a yard or two of, like, this blue, fluffy, you know, faux fur fabric that I want to make into, like, a big monster puppet, but I just haven't had time to.
Okay.
But it's waiting for me to build it.
What's the process? How do you build a puppet?
Right now, since I'm still learning on how to do it,
okay.
I actually get puppet patterns off of a website called Project Puppet, and it's really great for beginner puppet builders
Okay,
'cause
cool.
they have like really good instructions, the patterns are great, and they're very versatile. Like you can take one pattern and make like a bunch of different puppets out of. Like with I made the Goblin King
Yeah, sorry.
from
Yeah, the Goblin King, not Troll King. Yeah.
So I made him, but with that same pattern I also made like a little fox puppet.
Oh wow. That is versatile.
Yeah, so like it's just versatile, and I'm making a monster puppet out of the same pattern, and it's coming out pretty cute. I still need to make the body and everything, but
Okay. So like for those of us who've watched Sesame Street, you see Elmo or Big Bird, and when we think of it basically just as like a solid piece, I mean, what goes in, like, is there what kind of layers are, I mean, I'm sure there's fancy fabrics. What kind of construction or armature are you building with the puppets?
Yeah, so I think the major building materials for puppets is foam and fabric,
Okay.
and like I use fleece as my main fabric. So it's all foam and fleece and
Foam
like
fleece.
cardboard for the mouthpiece, and like it's just like stuff, like it's kind of amazing what goes into a puppet, because I feel like it's stuff that you can just buy easily or find around the house.
Oh,
So
nice.
like it's kind of cool, because like anyone can make a puppet,
Oh, that's
and it's
cool.
kind of cool.
That's awesome. Do you hand stitch it or do you sew it? Like, do you have them on a machine?
The puppet I'm currently building, I am using a machine, but
Okay.
all my other puppets I hand sewed.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, so okay, we talked about this for a while ago. So Rachel and I have actually we've talked about doing some collaborative projects together, and there's actually one project we're working on, but you mentioned to me that there's this kind of dream project that you wanted to do that involved these puppets, right? Like a film that you want to do. Is that your goal to actually create all the cast yourself? Like,
Eventually, yes.
okay.
I think I need a I need I don't have the workspace
Oh, yeah, I could.
to make, because the ones I want to make Dark Crystal-esque
Oh,
puppets, but
crazy,
I
yeah.
need to make forms,
Oh,
and
okay.
because I would use latex to make those puppets. The vision I have in my head, but
Yeah.
like, so I don't have the equipment or the space to do it
Okay.
yet. But it's definitely a dream project, and
Yeah.
I started writing the script. I have the whole outline written out, and I
That's
started
cool.
writing the script, but I didn't finish writing the script.
Well, yeah, you're, well, I mean, it's like all kind of creative projects, they're a process, especially if you're creating all the puppets. Now, I would assume latex, I mean, I have never really done anything like that, like the kind of advanced puppetry. My craft skills are pretty subpar. I would assume latex, you probably need to aerate that stuff. It's probably not healthy to be breathing in that sort of fumes, right?
With latex, I've only watched
Okay,
videos on
okay.
how to work with latex.
Okay.
But you need to make like a clay, like a
Form.
clay base first, and then you need a once you're done with that, you need to like put plaster all over it
Okay.
and make a form. And then with the form, and then when the form is made, you pour the latex into it,
Oh,
and
okay.
then you dry it, and then you kind of take it out of
Oh, so you
the
make
mold. It's
negative roll.
a process, and
Okay.
I'm looking forward to trying it,
Yeah, it
but
does. Yeah. I mean, it's the look and the style you're going for. I mean, that's some next level stuff. So, what got you inspired to get into puppet making? Like, was it?
so when I was little, I loved Muppets. I
Yeah.
love
Oh,
Labyrinth.
yeah.
Labyrinth is one of my favorite movies.
Good movie.
And I watched a making of, like behind the scenes of the Labyrinth, and I just saw like the puppet studio and like the puppet makers making all like the characters. I'm like, this is the coolest thing I've ever
Oh,
seen.
that's cool.
I'm
Yeah.
like, I want to work for Jim Henson Studios. Like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And then it's just something that like it was always there, but kind of melted away as
Sure.
like going through life.
Yeah.
And then like just a few years ago, I'm like, I want to make puppets. Like,
That's
what am I
awesome.
doing, not making puppets? So, you know, I'm starting off very slow, but, you know, I'm learning every puppet I make, I learn something new.
That's cool. I mean, like the thing of when you do something for the love of it, because that's always important, is to do it for the love of it. And there's a lot of like with puppet making, I'm assuming it's both technical and creative, so you have to have equal chops. Like you have to be really good. In since you mentioned your love for Jim Henson, something to think about. So this last weekend or so, my wife and I we went up to Seattle and we went to saw this Terracotta Warriors thing, which was very cool. But there's a Jim Henson exhibit happening. Are you gonna
Oh,
hit
I
that
know.
up? Okay.
We're going.
Okay,
I'm
awesome.
definitely, my boyfriend and I are already making plans
Nice,
and going
nice.
to that. There's no way I'm gonna miss that.
Yeah, that it looked really far out. I was like, whoa, that is far out. And like we were just circling the parking lot and like, I didn't know this was here. This is really cool. They have some pretty cool exhibits up there. We went last year for my birthday. My wife took me up there because they had a Star Trek exhibit, and I'm like,
Oh,
oh,
missed
so
the
cool.
Star Trek one. We went to the Star Wars costume. They had a Star Wars costume exhibit.
Whoa.
That was awesome.
That's cool. That's awesome.
It had like, oh my gosh, it had
Just
all Queen Amidala's like dresses, and like I love her dresses. Like, say
nice.
what you want about the
Well,
prequels, her outfits were awesome.
they're amazing. And what she did with her hair, that was far out. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So okay, so but it was really behind glass and stuff like that? Was it sort of just like this endless?
I think some of it was behind glass, but a lot of it was just out in the open, obviously behind bars and
Yeah,
stuff, but
that's cool.
there was no like there was a lot of pictures taken, and like none of them were obstructed by glass, I don't think,
Oh,
which was nice
excellent.
because we
That's
got like really good pictures. They
oh.
had the original Yoda there,
What?
which was, yeah, it was this poor Yoda puppet was like the foam was just like falling apart, and like he looked so sad, but it looked, I'm like, that's a Yoda, it was so cool.
Oh man, if you would have shown that to me as a kid, I'm like, no, Yoda's real. So it's like that is what is that? It's like oh, that's great. We at the Star Trek exhibit, they had this fun like little room that you could get on the bridge, and you'd be like in this giant green screen, and they would reflect what was happening in another screen. So you'd grab these phasers and you'd shoot critters and stuff that are trying to get onto the plane,
That's
well,
cool.
yeah, and that was far off, that was far out. I love that stuff. I love when they cater to us, you know, like where it's good to be a nerd. So, that's awesome. Just because we're talking about general nerddom and together, we've talked about we're both big fans of Mystery Science Theater, and I wanted to ask, have you had a chance to watch any of the new stuff? Any of the
Unfortunately, I've only watched like three episodes. I don't
Okay.
know what is
No.
wrong with me. Like, why can't I just sit down and watch this? But like, I love it
Oh,
so
it's
far.
great. Yeah, it's great.
Like, I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing. I think I do have like my only complaint really is that I feel like they're just trying to shove too many jokes into
Oh.
like a too small of a space.
That is okay. So that's a hard thing to that hard line, because I agree with you. Like sometimes I don't get all the jokes, but at the same time, it does mean there's a second or third or fourth read. So like okay, I love the original MST, and I really enjoying the new stuff. But I think the reason why it's hard to binge in the new MST is that it was always hard to binge MST because it's an hour and a half or 2 hours long, where you're like that's 6 episodes of a TV show. So I mean, or maybe three or four of like a longer drama. So I think we're used to binging on like a bunch of episodes, but maybe watch it's hard to binge when it's the binge is that big.
It
So but I love I to me it love it kind of checks everything, because like Jonah Ray, Felicia Day, you know, it's like Patton Oswalt,
I love
yeah,
Patton
it's like
Oswalt. He's doing
they're just
great.
all these quirky characters together. It kind of gives it that nerdy seal of approval, like oh, like okay, we got real nerds on here. I mean, Joel was always a hardcore nerd, but like it gives that sense of like oh, it's great, because I honestly think that there's so much of the jokes that you almost have to be a nerd coming in to get. Like, you watched Avalanche, right? That was
Oh,
like,
what was that?
did you watch Avalanche, the one where they're making fun of the ski
No,
movie?
I haven't.
Okay, one little joke. It's Rock
I
Hudson's
think I
in it.
did.
Yeah,
Okay.
Rock Hudson and Mia
Yes, I did. I'm
Farrow.
sorry.
Yeah, but my favorite joke is where they got they're skiing. This guy's skiing down the road and skiing down the mountainside, and Crow goes, "And it feels like I'm wearing nothing at all, nothing at all." It's like you wouldn't get that unless you're a Simpsons fan, like Sexy Ned Flanders. It's like, oh, it's such a good show. I do like that it has multiple reads, and they picked some really good gems to make fun of. It's my dream, at least currently, because the changes. I would love to do with the MST thing, but with like kung fu movies, like action movies, because there's a lot of room to like do the same thing. But yeah, and because Mystery Science Theater kind of covers the gamut. I almost feel like Avalanche wasn't really science fiction; it was just a movie they got. It was cheap. So, but the stuff like the time travelers is so but anyways, are you gonna go see them? Are you gonna see the MST live in July?
I wish I don't have the money to go
Yeah.
see it. I looked into tickets like the
Oh
day
yeah.
they came out. I'm like, I can't go see
I
that. But
yeah, it's a little pricey, and I mean, if I go, it's gonna be like, hey, because it's on my birthday, the exact day when they're gonna be there. So I might be like, hey, honey, I want to do this for my birthday. So, because. I mean, it just sounds like such a fun experience.
It sounds amazing. I
Yeah.
hope there's like at least I hope they come out with at least like a video or whatever,
Yes.
a live performance of whatever they did,
Yeah.
somewhere. Like I would love to see that.
Oh gosh, are you also a
But
fan of Riff Tracks?
yes.
Oh, love Riff Tracks.
I'm so sad I missed the most recent Riff Tracks, the beach party one,
Oh.
where they did a whole bunch of shorts. Riff Tracks Live. Do you go see
Oh.
those?
No, I haven't yet, and it's like, and I keep like telling myself
Okay,
I need
they're
to go.
so good because you're like in a room filled because they're usually like sold out or almost sold out. You're just in a room filled with Mystery Science Theater fans, and
It's
it's like
awesome.
the vibe of the room's great. Like, people yell out their own jokes, or it's just like it's such a good vibe in the room. It's so
That's
much fun. It
excellent.
makes it elevates the experience of watching,
Oh, that's awesome.
Riff Tracks. It's great.
Do people dress up and stuff when they go there? Or
Not here, but during their live, wherever they're doing it live, like you
yeah.
see people with like Crow and Tom Robots, and or they're dressed up. Like I went to, what is that movie? The Easter Bunny, the
Oh
Santa
yeah.
Claus Easter Bunny movie. I
Yeah,
don't remember
I
the
don't
name
remember
of
it either,
it,
but
but
yeah.
like the Easter Bunny comes save Santa pretty much on his fire truck. It's really. Someone came as like the Easter the rabbit, so like it's people who go see it live dress up for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. I just love the level of just antics and silliness. And if I get a chance to go see one live, I want to dress up. I mean, I might have to
Oh,
dress up like Torgo and stuff my
definitely should.
knees. Anyways, so Riff Tracks. So you did see them live, or is it just you've watched some of the videos of them being live?
Well, they do like what are those Fathom events
Yeah.
where
Oh
they
yes.
they're like in like Minnesota or wherever they are
Yeah.
streaming, and then it streams to like a whole bunch of
Oh.
different movie theaters across the United States.
Nice.
So they do a live one, and then usually like a week afterwards they do an encore. So if you miss the live one, you can still try to see the encore, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. And is it like the normal ticket price and stuff?
Yeah,
Okay,
it's
nice.
around $12, I think,
Okay,
usually.
that's cool. Yeah, I mean we've talked about it like over and over again, and the first time it popped up on my radar and I was like, man, we need to go see that, and it was they did Riff Track over Starship Troopers.
I missed that one. I
I
did
missed
not
I
see
was like,
that
oh, we
one.
need to go, and they made a joke about the general's like Nintendo Power Glove hand, and it was like, oh, this is so, I need to see it. Yeah, it's like, but sci-fi comedy, like as a genre, Mystery Science Theater sort of like holds the umbrella. You know, they really are like the number one sci-fi comedy, sort of like when you think of it. My favorite all-time sci-fi comedy is Galaxy Quest. Like I love
It's
that.
a good one.
Yeah, and I wish that, I mean, that we have Futurama, Galaxy Quest, and MST. It would just be great for more people to just, hey, just have fun with this genre. It's so good. Yeah. Going to circle back a little bit, we were talking about your puppets and the film project that you want to work on. And I forgot, is it a serious piece or is it kind of does it have a playful quality to it? Or are you're going for Dark Crystal kind of serious?
I have two, actually I have two puppet films I want to make.
Okay.
One is the one I told you about, which is very serious, I think. It's
Yeah.
serious, it has some darkness to it. I initially came up with that idea because the Dark Crystal was doing a contest to make a short film in the world of Dark Crystal.
Oh, cool.
So I came up with that one, but I never made it because I'd had like 3 months to make it, and just the process of the puppet building and the set building that I want to do, it's gonna take way longer than that. So, so there's that one, but there's one that's more feasible to do, that I'd really like. It's more of a comedy.
Oh, cool.
Puppet comedy.
Nice. So you kind of doing your own MST? So, Mystery Science. That's awesome. Well, okay, so the thing about puppets, I think puppets are similar to kind of I don't want to say hang-ups, but sort of the perception of like animation in the Western world. Like sometimes we see puppets and we kind of think, oh, it's supposed to be silly, it's supposed to be lighthearted, and just like animation. And I do think that Dark Crystal changes that for us. And like Labyrinth is still silly. I mean, it's still, even though it's got some serious notes to it, it's overall silly. Dark Crystal. Now, I haven't watched that film since I was a kid, and I remember it was creepy. What is Dark? Give us kind of like tell everybody a little bit what's Dark Crystal about for those who have not ever seen it. People come from all walks, I guess.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it's about, oh gosh, I can't, like, I'm gonna be
I'm
horrible.
sorry, I put you on
And like,
the
it's about this character. His pretty much all his people got killed off by the Skeksis, who killed them because I believe there was a prophecy about, I think his name's Jen, the
Oh,
main
okay.
character. I could be wrong, I'm so sorry
No,
to
it's fine.
Dark Crystal fan. So they kill off like his family and like all his people, so Jen becomes kind of like the one that they have to be afraid of because they didn't get him, so he's the one that the prophecy's about pretty much.
Okay.
So he needs to find the Dark Crystal shard that got separated from the Dark Crystal.
Okay. The name of the
And I'm doing a terrible job explaining
It's
this.
fine. That's more than I remember. I just remember that Jen guy. Yeah, go
Yeah,
ahead.
so he pretty much has to just take the shard and bring it back to the Dark Crystal before a certain time,
Okay.
I think. And so, yeah, so it's about him on that journey. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings, like Frodo's taking the One Ring to Mordor
Oh.
to destroy it. He's taking the shard to where the Dark Crystal is to bring, he's get rid of the Skeksis pretty much.
Okay, balance to the force.
Exactly. Bring balance to the force of the Dark Crystal world.
And save Dumbledore. Oh, sorry.
I probably need to rewatch that movie, but
No,
I was
that's.
definitely more of a Labyrinth fan than
Yeah.
Dark Crystal, but Dark Crystal does amazing things
Yeah.
with puppetry, and it's like there was no computer graphics,
No.
Like there's some like lightning,
Yeah.
that was drawn in because it was the 80s.
Old school, yeah.
And like, but like, it's all, you know, blue screen and amazing. Like the sets they made for that movie was incredible. Everything was alive. Like everything had, all the plants had a character to them, and everything was alive. You know, like all the plants moved. Everything had its own personality, and like, it just, the amount of detail that went into that set was ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, I feel like puppetry is kind of like stop motion. They're these tortured artists. You know, they want to bring everything alive, but they kind of hate themselves. It's like, because so much work,
Yeah, and sometimes it takes more than one person to puppeteer a puppet. Like it took, Yoda had three puppeteers.
Really?
Yeah.
That cute little guy had three people. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man. I mean, but the look though, the look, I mean, there is, of all the things that I can criticize about the prequels, Yoda was the biggest critique. You know, like, because, I mean, Yoda with sideburns, come on, guys. It's like,
Yoda looked terrible.
Yeah, I mean,
Yoda looked horrendous. But, like,
yeah, he
looked like, how could, like, you guys have, like, better technology now? Like, why?
Yeah.
How could a puppet made of foam and some faux fur, you know, like, look so much better than what they did in the prequels?
Yeah. I think George lost his objectivity. I mean, like, you know, I do revisit the, you know, during May the 4th, I do revisit all of them because I that's what I do. I nerd. But it's hard to go back when you see the realistic kind of that textural feel of a puppet. And I do think that eventually, I mean, there's some CG that just completely rivals what you can do with puppets for sure. Did you watch the film Where the Wild Things Are, the Spike Jonze film?
You know what? I just bought it because I haven't seen it.
Okay, I
bought it, but I haven't actually sat down to watch it yet.
Okay, it's now. I don't want to give away anything in the story. Because you haven't seen it yet. But as far as the practical and CG kind of blend, beautiful.
I heard it's really well done.
Yeah,
and, it's very well done. One movie that, like, really surprises me even now is Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. Totally holds up.
Their CG and puppet dinosaurs, like, blend together. Like, it looks so good. It looks so good. And, like, movies now can't even do what they did in 1994 when they made it, you know?
And I think this comes down to a couple things. Because, of course, Steven Spielberg, of course, has done turds like any other director. But what made it so well is that, so if you watch the special features of, so on the special features, he does this whole stop motion pre-visualization thing. And that is the key to good storytelling. And for anyone out there who wants to tell a story, don't forget that storyboards, mapping out your shots, thinking about how things are going to look, spend more time on that and you will make a better story. And you can see, because I think a lot of these films that just kind of get churned, like the studio's just trying to pay bills and stuff like that, that they didn't spend enough time thinking about the world and what it should look like. And I don't know. I mean, I know it's easy to kind of basically angsty about why aren't films not impressing me, entertain me, you know, like, but it's not about that. It's about love. You want to see the love in the filmmaker, and you see that in Jurassic Park. That's why it holds up. It's still creepy and awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the first one's the best. It's the best.
It is.
Yeah. And it's like,
definitely.
They have best story, best effects, best cast, you know, and yeah. Anyways, so basically talking about, you know, your love for anime and your love for science fiction and sci-fi comedy, is there a sci-fi anime that you dig? Like
I love, this is kind of like a big one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like one that's kind of like in the background, but like I love Cowboy Bebop.
Okay, nice. I am familiar with that one.
Cowboy Bebop is so good.
Yeah, it is cool. I think Cowboy Bebop is super mainstream as far as it could be more.
Yeah.
Like it's awesome, and like. I don't know. Did I hear a rumor about them making a movie? Yeah, Cowboy Bebop is great. I love the sci-fi element when they really pull it off in anime. And my favorite anime, and of course we're talking a person who has not seen probably nearly as much as you have, but is called Ergo Proxy. Have you ever?
Yes.
Great.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I watched that forever ago.
Yeah.
But it stays with me. Like I definitely need to rewatch it again because I'm a lot of it. Is missing from my head of what exactly happened, but I loved watching that anime.
Oh,
it was so good.
It's brilliant. And for those who haven't seen it, and I'm not going to ruin it, just telling you like the premise for Ergo Proxy. So it's a dystopian future, and everyone sort of lives in, you know, these bubble kind of future things, but there's androids everywhere. And these androids are beginning this virus that makes them sentient. And which is a bad thing, apparently. But the way that they know that these androids have contracted this virus, they see them kneeling and praying. And it's like, it sounds weird, but like the main character, kind of the real strong female cop girl, it has like really cool fashion sense, the color palette, the music. I mean, they really, like, it's fantastic. And it's also cerebral too. Like if you want to take it to the thinky level, it's a smart show. So like to me, Ergo Proxy is like just so good. It would translate to a live action show like in a heartbeat. I mean, I would watch that over and over again if like, you know, if Showtime or whoever put it out. It might be better if it like an actual major network put it out, because then they can have like all the money to do all the things, like all the visual effects. But I was just, that's what my mind comes to when I think about.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I'm like, oh, I want to watch that again.
Yeah,
it's
so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's just like, yeah, it really grips you. So all that said, I just figured we'd kind of maybe wind this podcast down. But I was curious, do you want to share a little bit some personal projects that you're working on? You want to talk about the project that we're working on?
Okay, so I'm currently working on a documentary about lung cancer. It's a pretty heavy subject, but I chose the subject because my sister got lung cancer and passed away from it at a really young age, too. It really took the doctors by surprise, because she was 32 when she passed away from it, and 31 when she was told she had it.
Wow.
Pretty much a whole year. She pretty much found out in September and died the next September after that.
So
my goal, because I didn't know anything about lung cancer.
Yeah.
I know what I think most people know is that if you're a smoker, you could get lung cancer. And that's like, that's pretty much what I knew about it. So my goal with this film is to educate about lung cancer and try to stop the stigma like a little bit, because lung cancer is a really deadly cancer, like, and it gets hardly any funding, especially compared to breast cancer, which gets tons of funding, and lung cancer kills way more people than breast cancer does. Yeah, so my main goal is to just educate people, and so they can understand what lung cancer is and that there's more behind it than, oh, that person smoked. You know, they...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of silly.
Well, and I was going to say, like, there's this element where, I mean, I appreciate, because this is an easy topic to talk about, but for those who've listened to the podcast, they know I've talked about some very heavy stuff in my own life as well. So, you know, we try to have a good time, but we also want to be honest. And what resonated with me about this project was it's so personal. You know, my father, he got prostate cancer at the beginning of the year, and kind of dealing with that kind of stuff was pretty heavy on me, because in some ways, like, it kind of bridged our relationship. It patched a lot of things, but at the same time, it's like, but why through this? I mean, this is a horrible way. And so sometimes this is a real thing. Yeah. But I agree with you. What resonated with me was like the power of this like real illness, and then plus my wife's boss had passed away last year from lung cancer, mm-hmm. and you feel cheated, and I am a firm believer in using your art as a form of therapy. Mm-hmm. That you can't necessarily expect people to always understand it when it's this personal, but at the same time, you doing it helps you send that love letter to the person that's touched you, and it helps. It helps you do that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's definitely been a healing process. Like, I've definitely gone through the motions with making this film, because like I had to revisit a lot of things that. Oh. You know, I kind of didn't want to, but like, it helps though. It helps with the coping process of losing her and understanding the whys of it and understanding what other people have gone through as well. Yeah, one of my interviews was with someone else who lost their sister to lung cancer. So we kind of had that emotional connection.
Yeah.
And I'm actually interviewing someone in July, which hopefully is going to be my last interview.
Okay.
Because I'm really excited about it. She's a lung cancer survivor.
Awesome.
And she has just reached her 5-year mark, which is huge in the lung cancer community, because most people don't make it to their 5-year mark who were diagnosed with lung cancer. So. It's a really big deal.
That's awesome. That is that's a huge thing. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like I just say this on like on your behalf. What I really appreciate is that I always find it like inspiring to see people being so brave to share a project this personal. You know, cuz I mean, yeah, you know, you're a fun, you know, nerdy friend, but having something that's so personal, like there's mm-hmm. as an artist, and this is my encouragement to other people listening, if you can be a part of something, someone else is being this vulnerable and this honest, you're going to get a window into their life that is a privilege, an absolute privilege. So like, I mean, from my side, I'm excited to be a part of this because it means so much, and it's so personal, but you know, but it's actually encourages me on like on a very deep level. Because we all have stories like this. People, we lose people and we feel cheated. And I'm not trying to get all Dr. Phil, but you know, I just wanted to let people know the context of our friendship, and that we're working on something like this, and that maybe inspire other people who might mm-hmm. be hurting to feel like maybe art is a good place for you to express yourself.
It's definitely a good emotional release. That's for sure. And like, I have a lot of emotion going into this film, so I think it's coming across, mm-hmm. and I think people can connect to it more. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and when the film's done, we'll also post it on this site as well, so you can plug that. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Rachel. I know it's not easy. I mean, it was from talking about dark crystals to talking about this very serious subject.
Yeah, it's all part of my world, so it's all good.
but it's part of your story, and that actually is something that I think it's really great for you to. It's a privilege to hear it. So just to wrap this up, do you have any social handles you'd like to have people reach out if they want to chat to you? Maybe if they want to talk, reach out, they're going through a similar struggle, or they want to talk to you about nerdy puppetry? what's your handle? I forgot.
It's PinkRabbit29, maybe? Or I also have a Tumblr, too.
PinkRabbit28, so.
What's that?
It's PinkRabbit28.
Okay, I was a number off.
But so you also have a Tumblr?
Yeah, I have a Tumblr. It's kind of like a side project.
Okay.
It's called Thrift Store Oddities.
Oh.
So if you have any weird stuff that you found at thrift stores,
oh awesome,
submit it to me and I can post it. It's like all about weird stuff I find at thrift stores, and I have like around 90 submissions right now, so I'm just trying to get through all my submissions.
That's so cool. Okay, yeah, well, I'm going to check that. Thrift Store Oddities. I saw, like, Adam shared this far-out Godzilla nightlight or what, Christmas tree ornament or something like that. Yep. And, like, and he got a thrift store. I'm like, how did he get that? I thought that was fake. I thought it was CG because it was just so... My mind couldn't comprehend that someone made this Godzilla, like, talking nightlight. I'm like, this is amazing. Yep. It's like, I need this.
Good find.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, great. Well, okay, so we have your Thrift Store Oddities on Tumblr and PinkRabbit28 on Instagram. If you want to reach out to Rachel, I think she'd really enjoy it. Give her some words of encouragement. And thank you all so much again for listening. Thank you again, Rachel, for being on the podcast.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And everyone, just remember to go forth and nerd.